Okay, tonight is Monday night, December the 11th, or 24th day of the month of Kislev, Erev Chanukah. This is the Gemara Shir, Moed Katan, Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis. Okay, of course we have to make a comment about the Yankees acquisition. So you get the National League MVP for basically bupkis and assuming $265 million of salary, which no fan cares how much they spend. Who cares? As long as you got a ball player, that's all that counts. So they said that a judge, Stanton and Sanchez, hit more home runs than last year, three of them, than five teams. Oh. That's not bad. Yeah, they need a little help in the pitching stand. They do. Okay. If not, okay. We are up to Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis, and I was going to start the next topic of Menuda, but I have one he'orah on the halacha of Avelus, and it's an interesting machloikis achroinim. There's a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi that the Pesach tshuva quotes, tshuva of the Eish Das, who he quotes, and Rab Moshe, who disagrees with both of them, but says, they said it, so I'll go along with it. The topic at hand is, should we assume that in Avel, during Yom Tov, if someone passes away on the first days of Yom Tov or earlier days of Chol HaMoed, and they bury the person on Chol HaMoed, and now they will start Shiva after Yom Tov, except that the last day of Yom Tov counts as the first day of Avelus. We saw a machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not this Avel during Chol HaMoed is noheg dvarim shebitzino or not. The Rambam said that on Chol HaMoed there is no Avelus klal, no observance whatsoever. Not only the public manifestations are not observed on Chol HaMoed, but even that of a private nature, such as having relations with one's husband, it's 100% mutter. The Ramban and many other Rishonim said that Avelus Dover Shebitzina are no Hague during Yom Tov, because even though we are not counting these days towards the Shiva, the person, the Gavra, is called an Avel. And once he's called an Avel, anything that is not of a public nature should be observed. The question which I want to focus on tonight is Talmud Torah considered a Dover Shebitzino or not? Talmud Torah. As you well know, an Avel is not permitted to study Torah during the Shiva. Not only is an Avel not permitted to study Torah, no one, even non-Avelim, are permitted to learn in a Beit Avel. The Isser of Talmud Torah, as well as She'elat Shalom, extending your hand, greeting somebody, is usher in a Beis Avel, even if you are not the Avelim. So the question is, would you define Talmud Torah as a Dover Shebitzina, which would now mandate that in somebody who buries somebody on Chol HaMoed for the balance of that Yom Tov and for the six additional Shiva days, he's not allowed to learn, can't do Daf Yomi, nothing, no Talmud Torah? Or do we say that Talmud Torah is not necessarily considered a Dover Shebitzina? It's not. And therefore, there would be no obligation to observe such a prohibition during those days. So if you take a look at the handout for a second, I just want to show you how the Mechaber paskins in relationship to the Machloikis, the Rambam, and the Ramban. Whether or not there are is Avelus Noheg during those days or not. So the Mechaber in Shin Tzadik Tes of Dini Avelus writes, Hakover meso kodem haregel beinyan shechal alav avelus. If somebody buries a deceased prior to the Yom Tov in a manner in which avelus takes effect, V'nohag bo afilu shah achas kodim haregel, and he at least observed shiva, observed avelus, for at least, it doesn't mean an hour, it means any amount of time whatsoever, then haregel mafsiko avelus umivatel mimenu gzeira shiva. The Yom Tov arrival terminates the shiva, v'yemei haregel olam lo l'minyan shloshim. And the days of Yom Tov count as 7 days or 8 days. Let's say it's in Chutz Laaretz, 8 days of Pesach, in Eretz Yisrael, 7 days. So those 7 days count to the Shloshim. So somebody was buried on Erev Sukkot. We've had 2 cases in Renat where the person was buried on Erev Sukkot. And the family sat Shiva for 2 hours maybe. Yom Tov came and terminated the Avelus. Now, that counts like 7 days. That counts 7 days. Now, the Yom Tov itself is another 7 days. With Shmini Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres counts as an additional 7 days. In that respect, Shmini Atzeres is its own Yom Tov. So after Shmini Atzeres, you've already fulfilled 21 days of the Shloshim. Simchas Torah is number 22. Then you have 8 days left of Shloshim. That's the way we paskin. But that's if somebody dies during Yom Tov. If he dies before Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov.
And they sit.
And they sat for at least 5 minutes. Even if it's 2 minutes, they have to sit shiva. Aval, just skip one after I bracketed. Go to the second. Aval, im shogag ohizid. If he forgot or deliberately did not sit shiva, velo nohag avelus, and he was not knowing at all, o shahaya karav lechashecha, velo yochol linho, or the burial was over literally right before what? Shkia Sachama. And there was no time, even in the cemetery, to sit down on the floor, take off your shoes for a minute, and sit shiva. He didn't. Ein haregel mivatel ho'avelus. The Yom Tov will not terminate the shiva. The kol shkein im lo yoda b'misas hameis kodim haregel. Certainly if he wasn't aware of the death of his relative before Yom Tov, shein haregel mivatlo. Ela noheg biregel dvarim shibitzina umone shiva achar haregel. Under those circumstances, he counts shiva after Yom Tov. However, the Mechaber paskens like the Ramban against the Rambam, that during the course of Yom Tov, he should be noheg dvarim shebetzina. That's what the Mechaber paskens. Fine. So take a look at the bottom of the page, and this is the Pischei Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva, what he does is he collects odds and end tshuvas that are enlightening. Not necessarily relevant to the Pesach of the Mechaber, but all different kinds of ayins. And he obviously can't call every tshuva, because his book would be never-ending. Like there are hundreds, if you go on the Bar Ilan, that's one of the largest collections of in that category, Shelot and Tshuvot. It's divided up the Shelot and Tshuvot of Rishonim, which is pretty big, but not huge. Shelot Tshuvot of Achronim, that goes everybody who's ever written anything. And he obviously, he just selected something that was a little off the beaten track.
Who is he?
The Pischei Tshuva.
Who?
Not sure who he is. So, he writes, Dvarim Shebetzina, Ayin Beshut Dat Eish. Everybody else calls it the Eish Dat. So, when I looked on the Bar Ilan to find the Tshuvas of the Eish Dat, they don't carry. Maybe had I looked under the Dot Eish, maybe they would have. I'll check tomorrow. But anyhow, this Dot Eish says, Simin Zion, Shekosav, Dahach Dovar Shebetzina, Eino Elo Tashmish Dafka. It's only marital relations, nothing else. Masha'ein Kein B'Talmud Torah, De'eino Asur Le'avel, Elo Mishum Simcha. The reason why an Avel is not permitted to learn is because the Pasuk states, Dichsiv, we say it every single Shabbos morning, it's Tehillim chapter 19. Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchelev. The words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring gladness to the heart. Everybody, when you walk out of here at 9 o'clock, 9:15, you're in heaven. I know that. Because that's what Torah does. It makes you happy without liquor. Uberegel lo ne'esar le'ovel. And on Yom Tov, it can't be prohibited. Why can't it be prohibited, something that is misameach? Because that's the whole reason why Avelus is what? Is cancelled. Because there's a mitzvah of simcha. There is a mitzvah of simcha. She simchas haregel hu de'oraisa. Va'avelus hu de'rabbanan. V'lochein hitir likros le'ovel toch zayin shiya'ale le'torah b'shmini atzeres. The question was, can this ovel get an aliyah on Shmini Atzeres? So take, for example, when an ovel isn't really in the midst of Shiva, and there will come a Shabbos. We are not allowed to call up that ovel for an aliyah during the Shiva, because there's an Isur of Talmud Torah. An Isur of Talmud Torah. But it's not going to be considered Befarhesya, because not everybody gets an aliyah every single Shabbos. Not everybody gets an aliyah. But on Shmini Atzeres, in Eretz Yisrael, it's also Simchas Torah. And the minhag is to give everybody an aliyah. So if everybody's going to get an aliyah on Simchas Torah, except for this person, that will be a manifestation of Avelus Bifarhesya. Bifarhesya. And you can't have Avelus Bifarhesya. It reminds us of the famous tshuva of the Rabbeinu Tam, where the Rabbeinu Tam was in Avelus when his sister died, and on that Shabbos, he was called up, because he was called up every single Shabbos for Shlishi, as the halacha demands. That in the absence of it, first you call up a Kayin, really you should have called up the Rabbeinu Tam for Kayin. But that would cause all kinds of rifts with the Kohanim, so the Chachamim made a takana, even though a Talmud Chacham goes first, call up the Kohanim first. But then the first available aliyah for a Yisrael is Shlishi. So the Rabbeinu Tam got Shlishi every single Shabbos. So when he was in Avelus for his sister, he told the Gabbai, please call me up. Otherwise it's going to be Avelus Befahesya. Everybody will know that the reason why the Rabbeinu Tam didn't get Shlishi that Shabbos, because he was an Ovel. And you can't have public manifestations. So here he ruled that on Shmini Atzeres he could get an aliyah. Ve'od ki minhag kadmonim. It's an old minhag. Go to page number 2. Shikorim kol b'nei hakihila l'sefer Torah b'Shmini Atzeres. Ve'im yiyezeh ve'beit hakneses v'lo ya'aleh l'torah. Have a Pearson. So the first answer which the Eish Das gave was, of course he can have an aliyah on Shmini Atzeres. Why can he have an aliyah on Shmini Atzeres? Because there's no Issa Talmud Torah. Why? Because Talmud Torah is Misameach. And that interferes with Avelus, overrides Avelus. Simcha of Yom Tov overrides. And part of Simchas Yom Tov is to learn Torah. So that's the first reason. Second reason which the Eish Das said, since the minhag is to give everybody an aliyah on Shmini Atzeres, under those circumstances it would be Avelus Befarhesya. So the Eish Das ruled that Talmud Torah is not considered within the purview of Isur of Dvarim Shebitzina, based on the fact that the only reason why an Avel is Asur B'Talmud Torah is based on it generates Simcha. Well, if it generates Simcha, that can't be put under the rug on Yom Tov. That's what he said.
I thought we were asking about Chol HaMoed.
Same thing would be Chol HaMoed.
Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov are the same?
Sure. There's a mitzvah of Simcha all 7 days. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim. It's black and white. For Sukkot. And we learn Tesvav Tesvav. We learn Pesach from Sukkot. That's the statement of the Eish Das. Now turn to page number 3. Nachapischei Tshuva, in 15 Simanim earlier, Shin Pei Dalid, look at the Mechaber writes, in the middle of the page, Ovel kol shivas shavi yamim asu likros batora, Nevi'im, uksuvim, mishne, gemara, halachos, ve'agados. Ve'im rabim tzrichim lo lehislamed, if there is a public that needs him, such as a yeshiva, and his students are going to sit and waste 7 days if they don't have their rebbe, then he's allowed to engage in Talmud Torah. Ubilvad shelo yomar shelo ya'amid miturgaman elo yomar le'acher fo'acher liturgaman v'haturgaman yashmi al rabim. So I didn't look carefully at this halacha. Why can't he speak directly to the miturgaman? As you well know, at every major shir, there was a miturgaman to translate things. I didn't look at the reason why you need a miturgaman. You can't speak directly to the miturgaman. I'm not sure. But anyhow, look below on the Pischei Tshuva. Asur likrois batoira. Ayein b'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. Look at the tshuvas of the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi said more than just that you should observe one day of Yontif when you're in Israel. He wrote other things besides that critical psak of the Chacham Tzvi. Not critical in other shuls in Tinek, but in this shul it's critical. Ayin b'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, Simon Kuf, Shekosav, Dita'ama, Neshi Yochal. Why is there an Isur of Talmud Torah? Comes up with something wild. Neshi Yochal Lilmo Dvarim Haraim Sheb Yirmiya Vehilchos Avelus. Because he has an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and yet not generate simcha, which is not in harmony with Avelus. When you learn Hilchos Avelus, you're not happy. You're sad. When you learn destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yirmiyahu and the Exodus into Babel, you're not going to have a big smile on your face. It's not giving you great satisfaction. So he's faced with the following dilemma. I know that you're not supposed to learn because it generates simcha. But on the other end, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We're going to abandon that for 7 days. He says, well, yeah, the answer is that we have an option. You can learn Dvarim Haro'im, which are not Misamchim, and you can learn Hilchos Avelus. The Rav, when he, in 1967, when his mother, his brother, and his wife died within 3 months of each other, could not come to grips with learning anything. Except the next year, he learned Hilchos Avelus. A whole year. He learned this perek, Elu Megalchin. And he learned the third perek of Brachos, Misha Meso, Mutal Lefana. And he learned Shulchan Aruch Yerideh from Hilchos Avelus from beginning to end. He said, I wasn't there in the shiur, but guys told me, he said, nothing else enables him to, he can't concentrate on anything else. So he only learned Hilchos Avelus. They printed up all the shiurim on Hilchos Avelus, which he learned during that year. V'lachein beregel, second line, she'asur lilmod dvarim ka'ela. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to learn Hilchos Avelus. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to learn dvarim haraim in Sefer Yirmiya. You can't learn Megillas Eicha on Yom Tov. Therefore, mutar lilmod kol davar, the eino nachon leishev batel. It's not appropriate to sit empty, doing nothing, no learning at all for 7 days. So therefore, since you can't learn that which an ovel learns during the week, because it's yantiv, therefore I'm going to allow Talmud Torah for what? For an ovel. So what's running through the Chacham Tzvi's mind? That basically, Talmud Torah should be prohibited on Yom Tov. It should be prohibited on Yom Tov. And it is prohibited on Yom Tov, in theory. Why should it be prohibited on Yom Tov? Because it's Dvarim Shebetzidah. The only thing is, I don't like that a person sits like a bocce ball player for 7 straight days. I don't like that. And I don't have the option of learning Dvarim Hara'im. Therefore, the overriding condition is, I'll allow you to learn, engage in Talmud Torah, despite the fact that Al Pi Din, it should have been Asur. So, what emerges is that there's a machloikis between the Eish Das and the Chacham Tzvi about whether or not Ekronit, fundamentally, is Talmud Torah Asur for an Avel on Yom Tov. When somebody dies during Yom Tov, the Shiva will begin after Yom Tov, but he is an Avel for Dvarim Shebitzina. According to the Eish Das, Talmud Torah is not considered fundamentally a Davi Shebitzina in his first answer. His second answer is that it is considered Davi Shebitzina, but it becomes, on Simchas Torah, comes a Befahesia, because everybody gets an Aliyah. Therefore, he can't be the only one not getting an Aliyah. But other than that, he should not get an Aliyah. So he has two deos. The Chacham Tzvi certainly believes that Talmud Torah is Asur on Yom Tov, and the only reason why I allow you is because there's an overriding concern. You can't learn things that are not Mesameach, therefore I have to let you learn anything that you please, so that you not sit like a bocce ball player for 7 straight days. Yes?
As long as we're making a compromise, why didn't the compromise go the other way? We'll let you learn something like Biyirmiyah or something that's not Mesameach.
Because Yom Tov doesn't allow it.
I understand, but either way, we're
you're making a compromise. He selected that compromise. I'd rather you learn Chagiga, anything you'd like, but don't learn Dvarim Hara'im on Yom Tov. Because that Dvarim Hara'im is going to impact the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. It's going to make you sad. To learn Hilchas Avelus is going to make you sad. So therefore, it has to be rejected, not mitzad the Avelus, it has to be because it interferes with Simchas Yom Tov. Now, that's what he says. Rav Moshe thinks that everything that the Chacham Tzvi is a Chiddush Atzer. Where did any Rishon ever say that you're not allowed to learn Hilchas Avelus on Yom Tov?
Yeah, where did you come up with this idea that the content of of what we're learning makes us happy or not? Meaning, I understand learning Torah is enjoyable.
Right.
But is it really that? Is there a simcha when I learn, I don't know, some esoteric topic of, you know, Kachem and Taras?
Of course.
But it's not on the same level. No, I'm learning you about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash makes you sad.
It's a weird comparison.
It's
all of a sudden saying that the joy that we get from Talmud Torah is
subjective.
Yeah, because, I don't know. It's just not comparable.
Okay. And then, you'll see how Rav Moshe concludes with this. So now go to page number 4. So this is Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe Chelik Dalid, Siman Samach. Igros Moshe, here they are, Siman Samach. And he's got a lot of different little things in this Siman Samach. And he writes, I'm not going to read the whole thing, because that'll be the rest of the night. Ube'inyan im beregel, shegamkein nohagin avelus bidvarim shebitzina, kishena'ase ovel beregel, in relationship to the issue at hand, shebepischei tshuva, bitsimon shin tzadik tes sif katnal, hevi mishut dat eish, ki beregel shechayiv besimcha, Mutter lemutayra. The simchas haregel hu da'oraisa va'avelus hu da'rabana. And therefore, davar shebitzina sheba'avelus noheges beregel hu dafka betashmish, having marital relations. That was the Eish Das. He doesn't even quote the second half of the Eish Das. That on simchas Torah it's okay because that's avelus befahesia. Ubisimin shin pei dalib pischei tshuva sifalov hevi gam mitshuvas chacham tzvi lahatir laavel beregel lumetora mitam acher shesover shekol hatam sheasru laavel lumetorahu v'mnei sheyachol lumadvarim haraim b'yirmiyahu v'hilchas avelus The whole reason why an Ovel is not to learn whatever he or she pleases, because you have an option to learn something that will make you sad. Shalachain baregel she'asur lilmod dvarim elu mutar lilmod kol ha'toyra kula. Shalachaora mashechilek b'shut dat eish ben tashmish she'asur mishum avelis b'tzina u'ben talmud toyra she'mutar mishum simchas haregel, says Rav Moshe, ein l'chalek b'zeh. Number one, I disagree with the Eish Das that there is a distinction between Talmud Torah and what? And what? Tashmish. Having marital relations. Why? De bedine avelus de betzina hogam beregel noheg mashehu simcha. Because once something is defined as dvarm shebetzina, even if that item brings you joy and happiness, under those circumstances, that doesn't mean that it's mutter on yanta, because by definition, it generates simcha. The af tashmish, marital relations, matzinu shenikra simcha bikra. It's called something joyous. As it says, dechsev, v'simach es ishtar. You make your wife happy. And one of the explanations is how you make your wife happy is through the mitzvah of onah. Ubigamara psachim daf ayin beis amid beis. Korui, kori, lechiv, ona, leishto, simchas ona. The Omar Shom Rava, chayiv, adam, lesameach, ishto, bidvar mitzvah. A person has to make his wife happy through this mitzvah of having relations. So we don't really care whether the item generates simcha or not. What do we care? Whether it's a public manifestation of avelus or it's not a public manifestation of avelus. So marital relations is certainly not a public manifestation. Either is Talmud Torah. Somebody walks into your house. If you're sitting on the floor, then he knows if you're sitting in avelus. If you have a book in your hand, the person doesn't know that you have a Rambam in your hand. He could think you're reading a book by any great author. Who knows what you're reading? He doesn't necessarily see that you're learning Torah. So by definition, Talmud Torah is something which is a private affair act and not necessarily Dovah Shebefahesya, argues Rav Moshe. Argues Rav Moshe.
Yes,
yeah?
In other words, what Rav Moshe is saying, as long as it's Bitsina,
it should apply on Yom Tov.
Even simcha is not is acceptable.
The mere fact that it generates simcha is of no concern.
The overriding concern is just simcha
versus befarhesia. Correct.
And if it's sinner, it's prohibited.
What?
And if it's
betzina. If it's sinner, it's prohibited. If it's befarhesia, it's permissible. The very same act. Talmud Torah, when you get called up for an aliyah. The Rabbeinu Tam got called up for shlishi. That's Talmud Torah. And nonetheless, for him it's permissible, and for everybody else it's prohibited. Prohibited. That's all you have to look at. Not whether it generates simcha or not. Yes?
You had mentioned that the Rav spoke about that it's untenable to have any kind of avelus together with a moment of simcha.
Correct.
So how do we even have room for Dvarim Shebetzina?
That's why the Rav said, if I had any guts, I would tell the Paskin like the Rambam. And you know it by avelus klal. And I don't know what he actually did. Wouldn't be the first time that the Rav passed against the Shulchan Aruch. Because as long as he has a Rambam on his side, the Rav felt very comfortable, so did Rav Chaim, so did the Gaon in following the Rambam. Very comfortable. In fact, I just got an email from a rabbi in Israel. Am I the Rabbi Agler who told people that you can use hot water on Shabbos? I said, yes, I am. He says, on what basis? I said, because I asked the Rav, and what the Rav told me to do is go home and read the first Rav Chaim in Hilchos Shabbos. It's 3 pages. Took me a while to go through. And after seeing the Rambam's Shita, Rav Chaim believes that the author of the opinion, Psik Resha Delo Nichale, is Mutter Lechatchila, is not the Aruch quoted by Tosfos. But it's the Rambam. The Rambam is the Mara Deshmatza, that Psik Resha Delo Nichale. That if you do something on Shabbos in a permissible fashion, and that guarantees that a malacha is going to take place. If you don't need that malacha, you're allowed to do that action on Shabbos. So what happens when you turn on the water? Cold water goes into the tank downstairs, and after a while it turns on the heater to boil it up. But when Shabbos starts, there's enough water in my tank to take care of all of my Shabbos needs. We don't take showers on Shabbos. We don't take baths on Shabbos. You have to wash your hands a couple of times and maybe wash some dishes. That's it. Nothing else. So once the tank is full before Shabbos, any other additional water being boiled up is sikresha de lo nichale, which means not only lo nichale, but lo ichpatle. I couldn't care less about it. So the Rav said, I know what everybody says. You want to rely on me? Be my guest. But I believe that since the Rambam is the Mara de Shmaitza, based on what grandfather said, you can paskin this way lechatchil. So that's what I wrote to him, and he said, how come nobody else ever said that? So that's why the Rav is the Rav. Then he called up Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Willig. He sends me another email, and he said, the Rav may have said that to him, but it's not a psak for Klal Yisrael. I don't know where he gets that from, because the Rav didn't tell me, I don't want you to tell anybody, because 3 days later, my brother asked him, and then Mark Karasik asked him 5 days later, and gave the same answer all three. Go home and read the Reb Chaim, come back to the apartment, we'll discuss it. That's what he said. Give me. I told him, I don't need a special say. My wife won't use it if you say it's us. It's not a problem. I don't need it. It's not a shalom bias issue that you have to give me a cooler. He says, no. You want to use it? So he asked me, would that be this guy in Israel, would that be the same thing if the light in the refrigerator was on and you forgot to shut it? You can open up the refrigerator? I said, yeah, if the light in the kitchen is on and you can see whatever's in the refrigerator, even whether there's no light or not, so then it's loinichalei that the light went on. I don't need the light. I have the light in the refrigerator, in the kitchen. If the light in the kitchen is off, and then you couldn't see what you're taking out all the time, then, of course, I would say you can't open it. Then it's nichalei. So the Rav often relied on a Rambam if he was convinced that the Rambam was right. And you can rely on the Rav's shoulders, trust me. You don't have to trust me. You can just rely on the Rav's shoulders. Anyhow, now, I once said at several Batei Beit Avel, I said once, many times, that I believe that there is a different origin to the Isur of Talmud Torah for an Avel. It has nothing to do with the Mitzvah of Simcha. Today, it is especially the notion that you don't need a Rebbe. You don't need a Rebbe. In fact, in many Israeli yeshivot, the shir is considered a rude interruption between two sedarim. Mm-hmm. Between the morning seder and the afternoon seder, the Rebbe gives a shir. And they are people today are mevatel the role of the Rebbe. Why? Because there are 70 million books printed today. Whatever you want to learn is... You can open up the Ramban, the Rashba. You can open up the Masifta Gemara, which gives you a synopsis of the Ramban Rashba. You want to know what the laws of Asher Yatzar are? There's 20 books on Asher Yatzar. Comes 28 years to make Birchas HaChamed. There's a book on that too. Whatever you need. You don't need a Rebbe. And that's the worst mistake a person can make. The worst. A person has to recognize that a parent... was a very effective teacher. Not necessarily learning Talmud Torah, but teaching you midot, hashkafah, and many times parents were the ones who taught you serious Torah. When a parent passes away, we suspend the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a kiyum of avelus. To show that up until now, I had my Rebbe, I had my mother, I had my father. Now that they've passed away, that Rebbe is gone. And as a result, how do I demonstrate that Rebbe is gone? I know that there are 70 million svarim around, but I can't learn anything without my Rebbe.
Like the Beis Medrash Batel.
What?
Like the Beis Medrash is Batel when the Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, that's correct. Right? Kol Batei Midrash, when the Nasi dies. That's correct. Kol Batei Midrash. Abateli. So if that's the case, then there should, if you believe that Dvarim Shebetzina do apply, then one should not learn for all Shiva, and even if you observe some Isurei Avelus on Yontiv, you shouldn't learn either, because it's not necessarily tied into the element that it generates Simcha. It goes way beyond, it's much more profound. So if that's the reason, but and I never saw it any place, but anyhow, that's point number one. He doesn't like the he doesn't like. Go now on the next page, the last paragraph. Vitam Hadas Eish. The next page. So it's still page number four. It's still page number four. It's the other side of page number four. The left side of page number four, on the right-hand column, last column, last paragraph. Vitam Hadas Eish. Kevon Sheberegel Chayiv B'Simcha Lo Shayach Le'esor Lumod Klum Midini HaTorah Machmas De'ika Mizeh Simcha Me'achar D'dino B'Simcha. Since there is a mitzvah on Yontif to be Misameyach, therefore I can't prohibit something which is Misameyach. Hu Tam Nachon. That? I like that, Svarah says Rav Moshe. Avol Mashe Hisik, but based on his conclusion, Kefi Mashe Hevi HaPiskei Tshuva, Mishum Shesimchas HaRegel De'oraisa, Va'avelus Hu D'Rabbanan, Ha'hu Lo, Kimaskonas HaToysis Mayit Kotten, Daf Yudalar Amid Beis, Dibur HaMaskel Aseh. We learned last week, Shikas HaToysis, that the mitzvah Simchas Yantiv is only midrabbanan, according to Toysis, Bizman Azeh. The Simchas HaRegel Nami Derabbanan. Aval hu mishum da asei de rabim, to hu simcha de regel, adifa me asei de avelos de yachid, ki de isa kain sham begemara, le inyan sha'ovel enu noig aveluso beregel. Vishayach lefisvaraso, tamze gam belimur hatoira. Gam belim, that same svara applies even to what? To limur hatoira as well. Namely, that there are two derabbanans here. Simcha's derabbanan, Avelus is derabbanan. So why does Simcha override? Because Avelus, Simcha rather, is a symbol of Simcha derabim. If it's Simcha derabim, therefore there is no Avelus. Ulema aser, kevon de chacham tzvi vahadas eish savre kein, de mutter lilmod kidarka beregel, even though I'm not terribly pleased with the rationale of the Chacham Tzvi, v'tam hadas eish nami af shenachon b'svara mikol makom eino muchrach, it's not terribly compelling, mikol makom kevon shelo matzinu cholek b'feirush alayu, since I haven't found anybody who black on white says that an ovel on yontiv or cholomoe is not permitted to learn. Yesh lahoros kavasayu uminag lo shayach bazem shum shalomotzi kolkach. You can't say that there's a minigun tinek not to learn, yes to learn. That's what Rav Moshe says. Then he just concludes. Go to the next page for a minute, page 5. In the first paragraph on the top, on the right, the right-hand side. Al kolponim Ladina yesh vaday lahatir limud hatoira the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Halacha, le ovel beregel ki chacham tzvi daseish. V'chein b'mikra, you can read psukim b'perushe Rashi v'Ramban u'kedoyme shehu simcha beregel. Avolo amiras krai ba'alma. But stam to join a chevra tehillim, that Rav Moshe says, she said, "Mistaber she'asur kehamagen Avram." Again, Avram, he quotes in the middle, says Same thing. An Avel should not learn. So for this, he paskins like the Magen Avraham. So there are people who all the time, that's how they fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They don't have much of background, but they go to the Chevra Tehillim. So they finish Tehillim once a month. It's printed in many, Siddurim, how you divide it up based on the month. So that, Ramesha says, you shouldn't do on if you're an Avel on Yantin. But to learn Be'iyun, to learn Chumash with Rashi or the Ramban, to learn Gemara and Mishnah, which requires a brain, to figure out and learn under those circumstances, that generates enormous simcha, that is in the spirit of Yom Tov, and therefore can be done. But if it's stam learning without any simcha, under those circumstances, forget about it. Kacha Poisek Ramayshah.
Is that separating different types of Talmud Torah, or is he calling the Tehillim saying it's not really Talmud Torah?
No, he's saying it is Talmud Torah, but it's not Talmud Torah. The Isbe Simcha, because it's stam plopling psukim.
And then it falls under the carrier Simcha the Rabbi.
And then it comes that the mitzvah. That's correct.
And that's the overriding.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. All right. Lama gain vayta. Let's go into the Gemara now. That's the end of the Harara. A brief Harara. I found this discussion very interesting. Okay, we're in the middle of the Gemara. It's in the middle of Gedalet Amid Beis, where we left off. There's a little Dalet next to the word Menuda. Menuda. Mahu shin yinhog niduyav v'regel. Somebody who's put into cherem because he violated a Bezdin's psak. Bezdin said whatever Bezdin said, and he didn't listen, so you put him into shamta, into nidui. So the question is, should such a person continue expressing his niduyim on Yom Tov or not? On Yom Tov or not? So before we go to any potential resolution of this, we have to understand what exactly is the question. Why? What do you have to know as to whether or not you should or should not observe Nidui on Yom Tov? What do you have to know?
How does that impact the Simcha?
How does it impact the Simcha? So you have to know exactly what somebody is in Nidui is prohibited from doing to see how it impacts the Simcha. Now, what else do you have to know? What else do you have to know? You have to know, is there a mitzvah to sit b'nidui? See, when we got to Avelus, we understand the struggle. There is a mitzvah to be mit'abel, and there's a mitzvah to be misameya. So you can see the conflict and how you can resolve it. But where is there a mitzvah to what? To engage in nidui.
To listen.
So let's, okay, but that's a broad general mitzvah. It's not necessarily, not in conflict with what? With observing yontiv. So let's take a look at Tosfos.
What's the root of the word menuda?
Menuda means rejected, isolated. Mahu, look at Tosfos, the second Tosfos on Yudalan on the days. Mahu shiinhog niduyav v'regel. In order to understand Tosfos' question, we have to read along with the Hagoyes Habach. Says Tosfos, v'hikshe horav, and the Rebbe asked the kasha. Don't know who it is. V'hikshe horav. Holeka Ela Asay. Now look at the Bach. Asay in the Gimel on the left hand side, Toshis Dibi Maskal. Holeka Ela Asay Diyachid. At best, what mitzvah is there for Nidui? For somebody who's needed to observe his Nidui. At best, it's an Asay of the Yachid. Who is the Yachid? The person who failed to follow the rules of Bezdin, and he was put into Nidui, into Shamta, into Cherem. Nobody's allowed to talk to him. Nobody's allowed to sit within Dalet Amos of him. You're not allowed to engage in any business with him. Fine. At best, it's an asay. And what type of an asay? An asay diyachid. So when you have an asay diyachid against an asay derabim, have we not already resolved that question? We have. Where have we resolved that? Last week, in the sugya of Avelis. So what's the Gemara asking? Mahu shiyinog niduyah? We know the answer to that question. At best, says Tosfos, v'hikshe harav, ha'leka ela asay diyachid, v'ein asay docha asay. One asay cannot override another asay under normal circumstances. That's number one. Number two, v'afilu asay leka. I can't even think of a pasuk which actually instructs an individual to engage in nidui. Elo Ezra Gozar Kidilakaman. We'll learn in a couple of block after Zion with Bayes. We'll learn that the Gemara will tell us, at least this Gemara, that Ezra made a gzeira to put into cherem people who don't listen to Bezdin. Kidilakaman. Says Tosfos, Ha Lav Kushihi. This is really no question. That there is no asay, it's only a gzeira. The hanidui dochi lav de mekalel chaveray, the ikar lav. When Bezdin puts you into cherem, they in effect curse you. They curse you and they say, cursed shall be the person who violates lo tasur, not to deviate from anything that Bezdin tells us. Now, are you allowed to curse? No. It says, lo sekalel chereish. You're not allowed to even curse somebody who's deaf, even if he can't hear you. You're not allowed to curse anybody. And yet the Bezdin goes ahead and curses him. Why must the Bezdin have a... Well, how does Bezdin have a right to curse? There must be some asay. I don't know where it is, but there's got to be an asay. Because we will apply the rule, asay, doche lo ta'asay. That's a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula. A positive commandment overrides a negative commandment whenever they are in conflict. So here, Vishema, maybe, misota yalfina. We will learn the fact that you're allowed to curse someone who is in nidui from sota. Sota undergoes some degree of a curse, of an Allah, as Divrei HaOlah HaZos takes like an oath and she's like cursed. Maybe we'll learn it out. Tosfos is not giving us much help here. Where exactly is this asay? Tell you the truth.
Who's cursing? The Beis Din is cursing him?
Bezdin curses him.
That's when they put someone in cherem, they're cursing him.
Yes.
And that's over a lav.
That violates the lav. The old, kevan she'ovar al divrei hadayanim, harei yeshkan asay derabin. Now he gets one step further. First he said there's no pasuk whatsoever. Then he says there's got to be a pasuk. Which one? I don't know. He didn't tell us. Not only is it an asay, this is an asay derabin. Why is it an asay derabin? Because what? Because not, and even more so. Why is Bezdin putting this person into cherem? Why?
To make sure everyone else.
Because they want everybody to learn a lesson. Don't you dare violate Bezdin's instructions. So therefore, this asay to put this person in cherem, whatever the asay is, I haven't found it yet, whatever the asay is, that's an asay derabin. Because its purpose is to make an impact on everybody else. Hence, says Tosfos, the Gemara now makes sense, the question. I have an asay derabim of simcha, but there is another asay of what? Derabim of putting somebody into cherem. So which asay derabim trumps the other one? That's how Tosfos learns. That's how Tosfos learns. without necessarily telling us which pasuk in the Torah is the Aseh Derabbah.
When we say the Menudeh, who are we asking whether Beis Din is obligated to remove him?
No.
Or whether he's obligated to observe Simcha?
Is he obligated to observe Simcha, which in theory should override the Isur, the mitzvah of Nidui?
But who's being
the Menudeh or the Beis Din?
The Menudeh.
Who's Makai in the mitzvah of putting? When we say that putting someone in Nidui is a mitzvah of the Rabbim,
correct.
Who is Makai in that mitzvah? He is, or Beis Din is?
Probably Beis Din. The Beis Din's mitzvah is to what? For what purpose? Everybody should learn their lesson. That lesson is so important that it trumps his personal mitzvah of Simcha.
So the Habamin would be, maybe his mitzvah derabim of being like everyone else, he should come out of Nidui during Yontif?
Correct. Or do we say no? Is the mitzvah derabim of Beis Din, which would by definition mean he has to remain in Nidui, trump the mitzvah derabim of the mitzvah of Simcha?
So this is a little different than Avelis, because Avelis, the mitzvah of Simcha and Avelis is on one guy.
Correct.
And no.
Correct. Tosis is just looking for a way to justify the question. Okay. Why isn't the answer obvious? We already resolved this once we resolved the halacha in relationship to Avelus. So Tosis is now trying to justify the question.
Is the point is to pick any possible aspect of halacha that would not be happy and see if you could do it on during... during Yontif. So if you know, if you're Tamei and get kicked out of the camp, if you have Saras get kicked out of the camp and all that stuff.
Good, the Gemara is going to ask that a little later. Saras, somebody who is a Mitzora, should he observe his leprosy on Yontif? Excellent question.
Well, we already know that he's not supposed to ask close to Yontif, right? Isn't there some...
Correct, but you should not put it, but he was already. Okay. Now what can you do? He was done 3 days before, now it's 4 days left on Yontif. So the Gemara will ask every one of those questions. Every one of those questions. So the Maratz Chayus here writes that let's assume that the Gemara operated with the notion that he asked the question on Tosfos Hashita, assuming that Simcha is only midurabbanan, and Avelus is the Oraisa, and Nidui is the Oraisa, how can a derabbanan of Simchas Yom Tov override a mitzvah of Avelus, which is the Oraisa?
Because it's a rabbin.
So the Gemara answers that it's a mitzvah midurabbanan of Simcha the rabbin. Where do I learn that principle that a mitzvah midrabbanan which impacts the rabbim trumps a mitzvah d'oraisa of a yachid? Where do I ever see such a principle that a mitzvah midrabbanan which happens to have a feature that it is a mitzvah defined as a mitzvah d'rabbim, how does that override a mitzvah aseh of a d'oraisa of a yachid? So he found something. Please go to page number 8 for a minute. This is a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, a very, very famous Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, story of Rabbi Eliezer, Shenichnas lebeit hakneset v'lo matza asara. He did not see a minyan in shul. There were only 9 people in shul. However, he had his little slave, an Evet Kenani, along with him. V'shichrer avdo, and he freed his slave. V'heshlimo la'asara, and he now made the minyan. The halacha is, if an Evet Kenani is in a Jewish household, he undergoes partial conversion. He goes to the mikveh. If he's a male, he has to be circumcised. And he's obligated to observe every mitzvah of the Torah except for mitzvah sasei shizman grum. That's it. Every other mitzvah he's obligated to observe. Plus, he cannot marry a Jew yet. Can't marry a Jew. So he's like half Jewish, half not Jewish. When you free an Eved Kenani, that completes his gerus. He immerses in the mikveh a second time, and now is a full-fledged Jew. So that's what happened. He freed him.
Went to the mikveh.
Went to the mikveh. Says the Gemara, shichrer in, lo shichrer lo. Only what? He freed. It's only if he freed him. But if he didn't free him, can this Eved count as a minion? No. So the Gemara is using this as an attack that the Gemara previously cited one opinion that says that one Eved can be mitzaref to a minion. Well, this Gemara looks that an Eved cannot be mitzaref to a minion, one Eved. Why? Because he freed him. The only reason why he freed him was because he felt he couldn't be mitzaref an Eved to a minion. Answers the Gemara, Trei itztrichu. There are only eight guys in shul. Only eight guys in shul. And there were two avadim. So one guy counted his Eved, he was number nine. And now, in order to count, to get the second Eved, Rabbi Eliezer had to free him. Asked the Gemara, Asked the Gemara, v'hechi avid hachi. How could he have freed his slave? For Omar Rabbi Yehuda, kol ha-meshachrer avdo, over ba'aseh. Anybody who frees his Eved Kenani violates a mitzvah saseh, an isur aseh. The Torah says in Parshas Bahar, le'olam bohem ta'avodu. An Eved Kenani is supposed to work for you for life. How can you possibly free him? Answers the Gemara, le'dvar mitzvah shani. Asks the Gemara, mitzvah haba ba'veira. You can't fulfill a mitzvah by violating an isur. Answers the Gemara, mitzvah derabim shani. What mitzvah was he doing? Tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is not midoraisa, it's only midorabanan. So you see a mitzvah derabim, even if it's only midorabanan, trumps an isur doraisa. An asay of l'olam b'am tavaydim. Same thing, says the Maratz Chayis, the mitzvahs asay of simcha derabim, which is a mitzvah midrabanan, overrides avelus and nidui, which might be the oraisa.
So, and he doesn't have to say that it's barabim. He can say that it's yachid also.
Who?
The Maratz Chayis. He doesn't have to go to Tosfos that it's a mitzvah derabim.
Oh, but that's why he's sending you to this Gemara.
Right, I think. So,
yes.
So his machlokas is rabim of simcha, yachid.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Now, going back to pages 6 and 7... the Rush asks a more substantial question. His first question is, how do we understand this Gemara? Why should a person who is in Cherem not observe the Cherem on Yontif? And he's going to explain. So the Gemara asked the question, what do you mean? We resolved that already from Avel. That the mitzvah of Simcha Derabim trumps every personal mitzvah. So what did Tosfos answer? This is also a mitzvah Derabim of observing Nidui. The Rush says something far more sharper. Tosfos a Rush. It's on page 7 actually, not 6. Look at page 7. Look at it, says the second line, the end of the second line on the right hand column. V'tkushya rishona nirali litaris. Degabe avel, hu deshayach lomar, osi asei deregel, dechsiv bevisomachta, v'dochi asei de'evel, shehu mitzvah al-meniyas asimcha. By Avelus, I understand it beautifully. Because Simcha precludes Avelus, and the mitzvah of Simcha trumps the mitzvah of Avelus. Avodin Menuda, hu likayim mitzvas lo tasur. The purpose of being put into Cheirim is to observe the mitzvah of lo tasur. Don't deviate from anything the Beis Din tells you. Umachma she'eino shomea ledivrei chachamim, on account of the fact that this person was not listening to the rabbis, heitilu alav chomer zeh. Ve'eino mevatel mitzvas v'simcha shel regel. Ki chomer zeh eino mitzvat miniat ha'simcha. You know why an avel can't be misabel on Yom Tov? Because Avelus, by definition, eliminates Simcha. And the Torah wants you to express Simcha. But does listening to a Beis Din, by definition, mean that I can't be Misameach? No. So the purpose of Nidui doesn't interfere with the mitzvah of Simcha. You can be the happiest guy on the planet. Just listen to what Beis Din said.
But aren't they also put him in a cheirim and isolating him and all that?
Yes.
Which would interfere with something.
But, okay, it would interfere.
It's auxiliary.
Right. It would interfere on to some degree, but it's not. There's no mitzvah that in Avel, that on Yontif you have to go to somebody's house for lunch. You can decide to stay home all 7 days of Yontif and fulfill the mitzvah of Samachta Bechagecha by just eating tons of meat.
Nidui is not the opposite of Simcha, Avela says.
That's what he's saying. Nidui is not the opposite, is not in conflict with Simcha. Therefore, the Gemara asks rightfully, Mahu sheyinhog niduyav beregel. Whereas by Avelus, we eliminated Avelus on Yontif, because Avelus, by definition, does interfere with Yom Tov, with the mitzvah of Simcha. That's how the Rush explains the Gemara's question. Explains the Gemara's question. Yeah.
In the time of the Mikdash.
Yeah.
Wouldn't someone who's in Cheirim be prohibited from going to the base of the Mikdash? And that would actually be prohibited from...
I don't know. I don't know. If there's an Isur for a person in Nidui to show up in the Mikdash to bring his Karban. I don't know. I have to check. There is a Shemin in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Nidui v'Cheirim. There is such a Shemin in Shulchan Aruch. All right. We'll stop here and continue next Avach. Next week we'll have a share on Hanukkah.